Ben Hurd is an Australian environmentalist who consults internationally. After a long-held anti-nuclear stance, his research on climate change has turned him into a nuclear proponent.
We would need no more energy mining. We would be able to provide everybody in the world with electricity without greenhouse gas, without air pollution, running on what we currently call waste. I think that's a wonderful vision for the future from an environmental point of view, and I'd really love more people to understand that.
That's Ben Hurd's response to the thorny issue of how to deal with nuclear waste. He says reuse it. And he says there's no need for more uranium mines, as the world already has enough uranium to power it for centuries to come. But what's needed is a new type of nuclear reactor, a fast one.
A fast reactor can transmute that boring uranium into a fissionable isotope of plutonium and then get rid of it forever, including and along with all of the other heavier elements that are called actinides. We need to move towards this world where we are not running on combustion, we're using fission, and we're using this material we've already got to do that full recycling. And when we've done that, we end up with about 1% of the material left. The half-life is only 30 years. And in 300 or so years, it's completely disappeared for all intents and purposes. That's a perfectly achievable management goal. An exchange for enough energy for everyone in the world, it's a great deal.
You've brought in there the construction of new nuclear reactors, and I think we're up to our fourth generation, and we're heading to fifth generation perhaps. One of the arguments, again, against nuclear is that reactors that are being constructed around the world, or have come in way over budget, way over time, and much too expensive to get energy from.
There's a whole body of data about time and cost in nuclear reactors. And there's 440 of them worldwide, and there's about 70 being constructed right now. On the nuclear cost example, there are some examples, particularly one in Finland, Olkiluoto, which gets quoted all the time, of large cost overrun. Yes, it's happened, it's there. And then in the middle of the data, in China, in India, now in South Korea, and now in South Korea exporting to the UAE, they're having outstanding success with time and cost delivery. Now, you never hear about that from people that aren't interested in promoting nuclear energy because they don't really want that outcome to be seen. Now, even if you took the worst cost outcome from Finland, once the electricity is coming out of it, which it very soon will be, it will be profoundly better value clean electricity than the renewable efforts that have been made in Germany. Renewables, which I support, are reasonably inexpensive to add at low penetrations into a system because the variability doesn't incur too much cost yet. Once you get to higher and higher penetrations, that variability becomes a real problem and you start to incur integration costs, i.e. costs to make the grid keep on working with energy that can come and go, very large amounts of it, sometimes quite quickly, not necessarily meeting the demand we have. We're not yet at that level in Australia. We're not anywhere near it with wind or solar, facing those levels of integration costs.
We are seeing in China also a fairly large-scale move into renewables. They're doing a lot of renewable development. How much will nuclear feature in China's future then?
The new wind generation capacity that's going to be installed in China will be huge. It will be bigger than all of Australia's electricity. Similarly, with the new solar capacity to be installed in China, it will be absolutely huge. And similarly, with the new nuclear capacity to be installed in China, will be huge. They have about 40 reactors under construction right now, about 40 gigawatts of power under construction in nuclear right now. That's about all of the installed power that Australia has. And that speaks volumes of what China needs at the moment, which is huge amounts of clean energy. And more broadly in the world, the whole world is going to need huge amounts of clean energy. A first world developed nation example that is similar is the United Kingdom. You know, they have also taken a non-discriminatory approach to clean energy. They have a policy in place now which is clearly looking to replace fossil fuels with both renewables and nuclear. It's really a cheap way out for a lot of critics to accuse people like myself of being phenomenally anti-renewables. That's really not what's going on here. What we're looking for is a much rational, unfortunately drier, assessment of a really serious problem and shining a strong light on the solutions we've got and getting on with the job properly.
What about breakthroughs? You know, there can be a breakthrough at any time. I believe the CSIRO's very recently had a breakthrough when it comes to solar thermal and using molten salt. If these things come up, they could radically change what you're saying as well, couldn't they?
Yeah, they could. And if they really did come up in earnest, I'd radically change what I'm saying. You know, I'm not wedded to a technology outcome. I'm going where the evidence leads me. Now, that's a breakthrough, a bit of process in one of the elements that is a challenge in bringing solar thermal to market at scale, of which there are several. I find it highly improbable that we are going to negate the need for uranium, which, as a fuel, in terms of the energy that's packed in it, is quite an extraordinary substance. And we talk a lot about energy storage, and you've mentioned molten salt storage. Well, we have better energy storage in uranium than we are ever going to chemically engineer from our own inventiveness. There is so much energy packed into just a golf ball of uranium. It would take a battery about 5 kilometres tall, you know, the size of an elevator shaft, to hold that much energy if we accessed it all. The idea that in a world that's probably going to double or triple its energy demand, that the need and the value of a fuel that can do that with no greenhouse gas emissions, the suggestion that that would go away, be negated by a breakthrough in renewables, I personally can't see it. And particularly given that nuclear energy is not a static industry either, and there are breakthroughs and developments in nuclear energy, such as fast reactors that can consume the spent nuclear fuel as waste. They do it in a way that cannot melt down. I think there's a temptation to always be looking for the next breakthrough in the technology you love, particularly to rule out nuclear power. I mean, without being too, I won't be too coy about it. You know, I've had variations of that question a lot. What about X or Y breakthrough? Well, yes, but I thought we were talking about something very urgent. Mm-hmm. I thought we were talking about very urgent decarbonisation, because climate change is reaching a bit of a desperate point. We shouldn't be waiting around for breakthroughs. We need to get on with what we've got, and that doesn't exclude wind, solar, wave, geothermal. It has to include nuclear, or we're not serious.